Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible." God is telling us that as we look around, we have proof that he exists. The snowman does not say to the snowman sitting next to him that we just simply evolved, right? Anybody that can tell that when you come upon a house and the landscaping is done and the yard looks nice, that just didn't happen, right? That requires work. Somebody had to do that. Do we believe that this world existed before we were born and that the world will go on without us? Before you came into this world, there was a world that existed. There was a time that was your parents' time that you had no part of, when they dated and when they went out to movies and had fun and played putt-putt and all those things. There was a time when you weren't even thought of, that the people on this earth didn't know you. And then you came along, and then you came into this world. And just like my grandfather, when I remember when I was making a delivery to, I worked for a delivery company early in my life, they were redoing the Jefferson Center downtown, and I know I've told this story before, that the top floor was the gym, the locker rooms and stuff, and for the high school. And then I went up in there, and it was before that they had redone it, so it was the way that it looked when it was in use. And my grandfather went there, and I thought, you know, I could see him, you know, walking home as a child with his friends, maybe smoking a cigarette, maybe not. I don't know what they did. I don't know if they still carried their books with the strap, but I just had this envision of my grandfather holding his books by this strap, walking home. They were passing around a cigarette, you know, because those things might have been hard to get by. They might have took one from their dad and thought they had something or whatever. And they were just laughing and having a good time, and he had his whole life before him. But when I was there witnessing this, he had already been dead maybe 6 years. The world goes and comes, whether if we're here or not. And so what that tells us is that there has to be an eternity. There has to be some place that we go after this. Because this world exists while we no longer exist in it. And God lays this out in Scripture. But we're going to talk about time. It's what we're talking about here. And so this world existed and will exist after we die. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." The context of the work that God does from beginning to end is the eternity that he puts in our hearts. But see, this God is showing us that this life is only part of life, that there is an eternity that we have. Most of us want money and power in this world. We want money to be able to make the choices that we want. We want power to rule over people if that's our choice, right? We want these things in life. These are important to us. Money to make the choices that we want, to live the way that we want, and power not only in the strength that we have to rule over people, but strength over our bodies to be able to walk to the mailbox, to go out to get in the car and drive. And there's times that we can't do this when we were younger, and there's times when we get older that we won't be able to do this. So one thing that people want more than money and their own power is time. They want to live forever. And I don't guess we would say, well, I don't really want to live forever, so you want to die? Today a good day, you know? No, we don't like the concept of us stopping, right? And I don't know of anybody that is older that doesn't envy the choices that youth has to live a really great life. You know, one of the things that I wish that I would have done when I was younger is that I would have looked at what I wanted out of life. And then I would have put down what it cost to get what I wanted, to see if it was a reachable dream or not. Do you understand? People want to live in a big house. Okay. So let's look at the what a house costs, what you're making, what it's going to cost to get there. Well, that means that I couldn't, as a younger kid, I couldn't buy my video games. I didn't buy a newer car when I was driving around in a clunker because I wanted a newer car. And when I got that car, I didn't put, you know, in my day, it was kind of a transition from the Kreger mags to something different, okay? But, I mean, it was there. It was when cars had chrome and they were transitioning from chrome to not chrome, okay? So I was in that transition because the cars that I could afford had chrome on them. The cars that I wanted didn't have chrome on them. And so I would have looked to say, look, if this is what I want out of life, I have to sacrifice here. But we think we can have everything because we think we have time. Time to make it work. But we don't have time to make it work. And God has told us this. He says, I've shown you eternity, but you can't understand it. Because you are eternal, but you can't understand the whole concept of you living forever. But that's what we want, right? Even if people that you watch movies, and it's for a climactic thing, it's for a heart jerker, it's to pull you into the movies, and you watch the father that raises the child because the mother had died right close to childbirth or right after, and he says, I would have done anything that I could. I would have given up everything, changed everything to spend one more day with you. He can't do that, right? But we understand that feeling is that we want things to go on forever. Luke 12:18-20, Jesus speaking, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns. He's talking about a parable here of a guy who had plenty. He says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, that's right there what I want for my life. When you retire, that you have enough money laid up to just kind of say, you know, I contributed to society, now I'm done. You know, I gave my money, I gave them a third of my life, a third of every day. Over a third of my life. I've given them half my life. I gave them a third of every day that I had for the past 50 years, 42, 45 years. And I'm done. So now I'm going to enjoy myself. And so this is what this guy said. He had all these things, and what he wanted was coming to pass. Right? Great retirement. I'm just trying to put it in focuses that I could understand, and I think that we can understand this concept. And so he said he had so many goods laid up for many years, he would be able to take it easy. But see, God, not because he was doing this, but because inevitably this is the way it comes for all of us. Right? He said, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. And all that you've worked for and all that you have, he said, whose goods will it be then? God didn't call him a fool because he wanted to have a moment of ease that he had worked and he had this retirement coming up, okay? That's not why God called him a fool. God called him a fool because God was not a part of his plan. He didn't for a minute think of the concept. Remember, we look around. There has to be a God. The earth hangs in space. Nothing holds it up. The earth turns and rotates to give us day and night. It goes around the sun to give us different seasons. Because God knows that the severe heat and the severe cold, those are tough things to endure. And as you get older, the cold is worse, for me anyway, because it bites. It digs into my bones. The heat, I never would have thought I could handle the heat, but I'd much rather it be, if I had to choose between freezing cold or burning hot, I believe I'd have to take the hot because the cold just hurts. It just hurts. Didn't when I was younger, but it just hurts. But God did all of this for us. And this guy is only concerned about what he has and what he has set up for his life. It wasn't because he was concerned about his life that God called him a fool. It was because he did not consider what God wanted from what he had. You see, we wake up expecting the day to come. We go to sleep expecting to wake up, don't we? One of the things that you should never do, which sadly I find myself doing sometimes, you should never go to bed angry with somebody. Never. You shouldn't. And even if what you have to say is going to make them mad, they'll get over it. Because I'm talking about close people that you should tell them. Because you may not get the chance. You may be willing to forgive them tomorrow, right? But tomorrow may never come for them. And then you have to live with that you never got to say, you know, this sucks, I don't understand, but let's make a change, let's do something different. Say it. Don't ever go to bed mad, because tomorrow doesn't always come for that person. And I know that. And you know what I do? I go to bed mad. Shame on me, right? Shame on me. Because I expect tomorrow to come. Because sometimes when you're mad, you just want to be mad for a little while, right? It kind of feels good because you just want to be upset for a little while. I don't know what the answer is there, but I can tell you that tomorrow, there'll be a day when our tomorrow doesn't come. Okay? And there's a time when the person that we care about, that their tomorrow is not going to come. And we have to understand that. But our mindset is we go to bed expecting the sun to rise tomorrow. Right? I got to go to work Monday. Even though I despise the thought of it, I feel like that's what I'm going to be doing. I have no concept that I won't wake up tomorrow morning. We want time. We want forever. But you see, that's not what we're preparing for. We put all of our effort into the temporary. We put all of our effort into this life. All of it. My work, your work, my wife's work, your friend's work, they tear you down. They take everything they possibly can from you. And what you do when you come home is you prepare for the next day to face that onslaught. You know, when you're a kid, you know what the greatest memory is of being a kid? It's not paying bills. That's the greatest memory. You know, you see the kids that you say, this is the best part of life and enjoy it. And the kid's crying. He says, this is the best part. Yes, it's the best part. The best memory is just not paying bills. Yeah, all those things. So the thing is that we put all of our time into what's temporary. All of our effort goes into getting up the next morning and going to work. And then all of our effort is that when we get done with work, we've got something else we've got to do before we can go home, take a shower, eat, and just let our mind start clearing and doing a brain dump. We've got other things we got to do, so we got to prepare ourselves for that so we make our day longer. And all of our effort goes into the temporary. What it takes to get through this life. God did not intend it that way. But that's what we do. We want forever, but we're not preparing for that. We're preparing for this world. This world is not forever. Nothing is. Even as strong as the steel is that I work with, and it will tear my body up by the time I retire, eventually it will rot and become dust. I'll be dead long before some of that stuff that I touch will ever turn to dust, but eventually it will. Nothing in this world lasts forever. And I'm talking about, you know, our flesh, the trees, you know, our homes last for quite a while, but nothing lasts forever here. And this is what we put all of our effort into. Ephesians 5:15 through 18 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That's a big fancy word, but it means diligently and straight, with focus, with determination. And you make sure that you walk that straight line, right? Because see, as you get older, you know what happens when you try to walk a straight line? You just, for some reason, you just go off in one direction. And your mind's like, ooh, I think the world looks better this way. I don't know why that happens. But he tells us to walk straight, not as fools, but as wise. And see, the thing that we miss out of, and there's a wonderful, this is a great verse, but the things that we miss here is that we all walk. Okay? So we're either going to walk straight or we're going to walk like fools. But we all walk. All of us walk. Okay? And he tells us in verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That means excess of not redeeming the days. Do you know what happens when you get drunk? You don't have to think about your problems. Right? When something happens and you decide that I'm gonna have a drink tonight. What happens is you don't have to think about your problems, but you know what else you don't think about? It's God or the people around you. And God says that in this way, because this is the context of what he's talking about, redeeming the time. And when you put yourself in that situation, it becomes an excess of not redeeming the days. You're just sitting there, just... It's a terrible place to be. To want to find yourself hating this world so much that you're willing to become numb to those around you and yourself. And he tells us, don't do this. He says, be diligent, be straight. Don't walk as fools, walk as wise. But be filled with the Spirit. He told this to the Ephesians. He could have very well told it to you. You know why? Because you're reading Ephesians today. So he is talking to you. Because he knows that what put the Ephesians in this position right here. And you know the church at Ephesus? They lost their first love. And this is what he's telling the Ephesians. Do not become fools, but redeem the time. Days can lead us astray when we consider the day for our gain. When we decide we're going to do something that's going to benefit us and what it's going to take to do that, and we put all this time and effort into our gain, sometimes those days can lead us astray. Because we can put all of our effort into doing something that will never really bear fruit for anyone, not even ourselves. And God says, don't walk unwise. This world is only temporary. What if our mindset was, upon sleeping and waking, were what can the day produce for the kingdom? That's not walking unstraight. That's not being a fool. That is redeeming the time. Because that gives you thought into something that's much greater than you. That gives you thought into an afterlife. That gives you thought into your brothers or sisters, pain, suffering. What if you thought of the day when you went to bed and when you woke up, what can I produce today for God? Now, I'm here to tell you that it would be a great place to be if we lived in that mindset all the time. I can't do that. I can't. Because I get aggravated. I get sad. I get mad. I get really happy. And all of these things pull me away from the will of God. Because it focuses on myself. I love to lay in the sun. That doesn't do anything for you. Right? It doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't do anything for God. I love to go to the pool and lay in the sun and get a tan. But of all the things that I could be doing, and I'm just not doing anything but for myself, those days are going to happen. Don't set yourself up for failure, but understand that our mindset and all of our energy was what we were talking about a minute ago is getting through this life. What if some of that energy could be focused on preparing for eternity? Is that too much to ask? God understands. There's proof in Scripture. He understands. He says a married man cares about the things of his wife. And the married woman cares about the things of the husband. And Paul said that that is a distraction to the Lord. And God says, I understand the world that you live in. You know why he can say that? He lived it. And he also died. He lived in this world, he taught people, but he prepared those people for something greater than this world. He showed them that you don't put all your energy into what is temporary. They thought he was going to put his energy and teaching and efforts into re-establishing Israel as a world power and was going to break the yoke of Rome. He didn't do that. He set up a spiritual kingdom, which is the church. That's why I can't understand why people still think that God's going to go back to the Jews and reestablish the law, when the law was fulfilled in the man who died for sin. And that man who died for sin brought in those Jews that were under the law and brought in the outside world, put them together, and now that body is called a Christian. I don't understand. But what if our mindset was at least considering preparing for eternity? Philippians 3:17-19. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk. Judge those who so walk. You see, you understand, we don't just accept everybody that walks into the church. We don't just accept every teaching that comes into the church. Paul said, note those that follow my example. And later on we're showed in Scripture is, note those who do not follow my example. Why? Because they're going to lead you down a path. Those who don't follow the examples of the apostles who were preparing for and trying to prepare the church for eternity. The people who don't follow the apostles' examples are going to bring you back into the lifestyle and the easy trick of, hey, we got to do what we got to do, right? How many times have you heard that? We've got to prepare for this life. We've got too many things to do to consider about eternity. I got too much debt to ever consider saving. That's a terrible analogy to have. Terrible. You're not going to pay off your debt in one day. You're not going to save in one day. So take some of that and put it away. Otherwise, you are tying a noose around your neck and planting a tree in your backyard. And eventually, you're going to hang yourself. Because you're going to come to a place where you have nothing. And you're still going to have the debt. Brethren, join me in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Verse 18, for many walk. Remember this walk, the narrow way. Remember, walk not as unwise, not as fools, but as wise. Remember the narrow way that Jesus talked. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. If you go to Acts 20, he told the Ephesian elders for 2.5 years, he said, I did not cease to bring to come to you with tears and telling them that savage wolves were going to come in and not spare the flock. And he was telling them that savage wolves were going to come in among the leadership, teach people the wrong things and draw them away. Hey, it's okay. I understand you've got too much stuff to do. I understand you don't have time for God. God knows this. So you take care of yourself, and then if when things work out, you just come back. That's not the God that we serve. And that's not the examples that the apostles left behind. He told that to the Ephesians. He's also telling this to the Philippians. The church at Philippi. He's telling somebody else the same thing. He says, and now I tell you often weeping, those wolves and sheep's clothing, he says that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. And this is where we're talking about preparing for only this world. He says, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. It is wrong for us to only take our efforts, the life that God has given us, and only prepare for this life. God expects us to put some time and thought into preparing for life with Him. Because if you don't prepare for life with Him, you're going to lead a life afterwards without Him. And that's called destruction. That's called damnation. That's called hellfire. Complete destruction. Complete separation from the Lord. You have energy. You have time. And you know what? As your energy decreases, you do less. I know that. I do less than what I used to do. I watched my brother. He always was just explosive with energy, you know? And now, finally, he's a little tired. And I'm kind of glad because it made me tired just watching him. But now he's just a little bit tired. And he can relate a little bit to me being tired. But that's the way I've been my whole life. And I was always envious of all the energy he's had. My point is that when you are able to do less, then you do less. But that doesn't mean you stop doing for God. That means that if you used to have 10 hours of energy and you only have 5, then instead of having 5 for yourself and 5 for the Lord, or 8 for yourself and 2 for the Lord, you're going to have less time for yourself, but you still have to make sure that you prepare for life with Him, not just life here. Because He's told you. We've not just seen it once, we've seen it several times. And there's other scriptures. I only have it so much time. He said, redeem the time. Don't walk as fools. Is He so concerned about everything you're doing here? Well, of course, to some degree. But He's concerned about if you're thinking about preparing for the life with Him. If I only knew what I know now. How many times have we said that? Right? Here's somebody who knew, who saw this, who lived this. He says, Luke 16:25, Jesus telling us about Lazarus and the rich man. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is in comfort and you are tormented. Here is that scenario and the outcome, knowing what I know now. Here's someone who said, I wish I knew then what I know now. And he's not in a very good place, because he said, if I would have known what I know now, I would have made a change. He said, I can't make the change. I'm here, but let me go back and tell my brothers. And you know what the answer was? Y'all know what the answer was. He said, they have the law and the prophets. So this was a Jew in this terrible place. This was a Jew who was not going to be rescued because he disobeyed God. The religious world as a whole doesn't tell you that that happens, right? That God loved all the Jews. Here was a guy that said, please let me go back and tell my brothers. And so they had the law and Moses. They had the law and the prophets. We have Scripture. We also have what they read. We have what Jesus said. Remember the example that the apostles talked about? Follow my example. Don't you think that if this was a church setting, that this was church people that was talking, not back in the Old Testament, that they would have said, if I would have just listened to Paul, he told the Ephesians, he told them that people were going to come into the church and they were going to lie to him. I can't just trust everything I hear in the church. I've got to follow it up with Scripture, because the answer given to Lazarus was that the rich man, he had the prophet, he had Scripture, and he didn't pay attention to that Scripture. He didn't listen. He didn't prepare. He didn't prepare. So this scenario of I wish I knew what I knew then, that's not just an earthly thing. That's not just you wishing you knew when you were younger what you could have done to prepare for when you're older. How about when you're older, preparing for when you pass on into the next life? Nothing changes. You prepare every day for tomorrow. If your tomorrow is not lived here, then you prepare for that day when it's going to be lived in eternity. And God has told you and warned you, do not walk like a fool and think that all you have is the stuff in your barns and that you're going to live peaceful for the rest of your life. The man that did that, he called him a fool. And he told him, don't walk like a fool. Think about what's going to happen next. And so when you're younger, it's understandable that you prepare for you getting ready to get into life. But don't ever forget that life is only temporary here. And when you get older, the older you get, the closer that you get, you definitely should be thinking about the afterlife. You definitely should be putting some effort into eternity. God said He put that in your heart. He said, you didn't understand it, but you know who does? He does. You read that scripture, the Holy Spirit within you, they understand eternity, and they'll show it to you. Walk redeeming the time according to Scripture. We do believe in eternity. The world's not going to end when we die, and neither is God. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He's told you this. He's told you what He's going to do. He's told you that you're going to die. He's told you that you were going to be born. He's asked you to be born again. He's commanded it. But that's your choice. But He's told you all of these things, and He says, my counsel will stand. I will do what I said I was going to do. And this world will pass away. So are we preparing for tomorrow? We have to prepare for tomorrow here, and we have to think about the idea of tomorrow not being here. We believe that we have the answers without Scripture. A lot of people do. They think that they know what's going to happen, that they're going to be able to say that I'll be at peace. You know, at funerals, a lot of times people will say they look peaceful, and that's understandable. That's understandable. You want them to be at peace. But are they? Scripture knows the answer to this. Do we know the answer to this? We believe that we have the answers without Scripture, without God, without Jesus, but continually wish we understood yesterday, today. We think we have all the answers until we say, man, I wish I'd have known. I wish I'd have known. You still say that when you're this age? Still say that? Then you don't have all the answers. You think you do, but you don't have all the answers. You're just telling yourself, I wish I could have learned. Scripture can teach you. God can teach you. And one of the things that He's trying to show you is that we have to consider tomorrow a possibility that we have to prepare to move on. You have to prepare to move out of your parents' house. You have to prepare to get a car. You have to prepare to pay the car insurance. You have to prepare to go grocery shopping. You have to prepare to go to work when you don't feel like it. You know why? Because a lot of times you use up your sick days, you use up your vacation days, and if you take a day off, you don't get paid for it. And if you don't get paid, then when you get your check, it's short. And when it's short, guess what? You didn't have enough money last week. You think you're going to have enough money this week when your check is short? You have to prepare for all of these things. An eternity of time. Who has the answers? You or Scripture. It's time that we considered that God does have some answers. There are a lot of reasons that people don't come. There's a lot of reasons that people walk away. I don't know where you're at. I don't know whether if you were on the fence because you were so tired of this world. I don't know where you're at. And I'm here to tell you, you don't know where I'm at. This is an anchor to us. And we better start using it. And we better start listening to it. And one of the things that this scripture says in this little lesson among many, among all the words that are written in the Bible, is to prepare, never forget to include the Almighty in your preparation for forever. Never forget that. Think about your life today and think about your life with Him tomorrow. Because one day, when you say, Lord, I may not wake up tomorrow. Tomorrow may be my last day. And all I want to know is, did I stay faithful to You? I can look at my life and I can see why You had to die. I can see why You had to forgive me, because I never could have done it. You had to say, you didn't make it, I forgive you. You had to do that. I understand. But if tomorrow is my last day, I want to know that I walked faithful. Paul said, as much as Paul knew, he said, it's not that I have comprehended, Meaning Paul said, I didn't know everything. Paul said, it's not that I've comprehended. He says, but I press on to the upward goal that is in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that are behind, you can't change those, he says, but pressing forward. And that's what he's getting us to do. Prepare for tomorrow. Because one day, when you say to the Lord, tomorrow will be my last day, guess what? You'll be right. You will be right. And you will say that I have trusted in you my entire life, and I have put my entire existence, I have trusted this word that you have left. You are my God, and you are greatly to be praised. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and he talked to a people that thought they were preparing for tomorrow. But tomorrow had come. Just as much for those Jews to truly put their trust in Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, and all the miracles that they saw, that was truly almost like them going from death unto life. It really was. And Paul and Peter stood up in front of those people and he says, you're preparing to be with God, but you're not coming through His Son and you're not going to make it. That's why it said that those, it said he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why he said afterwards to continue steadfast in these things. Do you know why? I mean, there's an unlimited number of answers to why, but by doing these things, you prepared for your life with Christ. You are here this morning around this table. Jesus said there'll be a day, the great wedding feast, he calls it. And what we do here, we will do, not that he's not here, this is spiritual, but we will actually be with him, see him, and with all those that went on. Paul and Peter and Moses and Abraham. And we're doing this to prepare for that day. Because one day it will be our reality and this will be but a memory that will be gone. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?